Thank you very much. Very happy to be here. It's my second time, and I'm excited to see what many ministries you offer. Also, ministry of prayer, which is very crucial. It's also one of my topics today. Because following Jesus, belonging to Jesus, can be very, very dangerous. It can cost you everything. Your life, your health, all you have acquired during your lifetime. Most of these things are probably unfamiliar to us because we live in a situation, in a country where freedom is so normal. But there are many, many who fight against the gospel, Christians, the church. Whole governments, entire governments, departments of secret police formed to find out where are the Christians, trying to stop them to share the word. Some lose spouses. This is happening today in more than 70 nations. So it's so important that we look towards brothers and sisters who live in those circumstances. We have had beautiful songs also about the love of God and how He holds us fast. So important songs. I put up a slide here, persecuted but not abandoned. Yes, persecuted means suffering. But not standing alone in this suffering. So today's service won't be as easy because you will be challenged to look into situations where suffering occurs and you are challenged to take those sufferings into your own heart so that they are not abandoned. And the suffering everybody can face. As you see on this picture, it can start with children losing their parents or seeing how their parents got killed. And it can end up with the elderly generation. It affects everybody. That we need to know. On the next slide, you see persecution is a worldwide dimension. Actually, that's what Jesus said. He promised very early on to his followers, as they persecute me, they will also persecute you. It's to no surprise that there's persecution of Christians in this world today. And in the end time speech, he actually says the whole world will persecute you. It's not just one small accident. There is a movement to be expected against the gospel, against his church. And you see unfold this movement here on this screen, on this map. Open Doors is not only an organization, it's a movement of Christians like you to strengthen brothers and sisters in those countries. Because there are many countries, many people who oppose the gospel. I mentioned already, so you can scan these countries and maybe some you will be amazed, why is there persecution? Maybe you are of one of those countries. Maybe you haven't seen persecution. I have traveled in many of those countries and also as a tourist really rejoiced to be in that country. I haven't seen persecution, although it happens. Sometimes you need to sit with the local believers and let them share their life, their stories. We just looked today on one area. I shared already last year about this area. Who was here last year listening to that presentation? So most people haven't been here, actually. So for many, it's new. But you got in the entrance a magazine. And there you read just one sentence, "Arise, Africa." So we are promoting a project. It's not actually a project. It is an initiative to strengthen the church in sub-Sahara Africa. One country you see in the red, it's Nigeria. It's since many years in the red, means extreme high persecution. You probably know about Nigeria as it is the most populated country in Africa, over 200 million people. And it's almost split religiously in a prominently Islamic north and a prominently Christian South. But in the recent years, we have observed an increase of radical Islamic groups, not just in sub-Sahara Africa, all over the world, who press on to get rid of the church. They have an agenda that every person in this world will be a follower of Muhammad, of Islam. And so Christians are in the way. The Muslims are not our enemies. Don't misunderstand me. People are never our enemies. But we have an enemy. It's clearly described in Scripture. You have an enemy in your own life too. Don't think he's all only in those areas. This enemy is called Satan, the devil, a real existing spirit who is taking action. The Scripture describes it. Peter describes it as a lion who goes around to kill. So he's going around, he's going to look out for opportunities to destroy believers and the church. Peter said it generally, you. It's not just pastors or missionaries or active people in the church. He looks for everyone he can destroy. So, praise God that you are in faith. Praise God that you come to church. It's a grace. It's a grace. Peter said once to Jesus, I'm going to die with you. I go in prison with you. And he was convinced. He saw all the miracles. He was going with Jesus. He was a very confident man. But Jesus told him, you will deny me. Probably you remember the story, and actually it happened. It happened. So we never know what we will be doing if we come in extreme situations. We only can depend on the grace of God. So how does this work? Let us a little bit go in depth first. I mentioned an area where we had an increase of violence we did not expect. Therefore, sub-Sahara Africa had the most increase of violence, killing, murdering of Christians. So 16.4 million Christians are eternally displaced right now. This is not a small group. Next picture shows some of those believers. Here you see them in a refugee camp. It's not an official refugee camp. It's just a temporarily set up camp because They couldn't stay in their villages. Radicals came, burned the villages, killed the men, also women. They ran for their lives. That's all what they could do, just run away to live. So you see them here, babies, teenagers, young woman, elderly woman. They're all there because their crime is following Jesus Christ. That's why they're there. They lost everything because they're not following the right religion, the right conviction. And they don't want to give this up. Belonging to Christ means I even go to the lowest point of life. I'm not giving up my faith. And I hope this is already what you take home with you from the persecuted church. There are examples to us of enduring, of not giving up. So whatever you face maybe in your own personal life, whatever the challenge is, keep on pressing on, living with and for Christ. You will be the winner in the end and not the loser. But it looks like you're a loser. It looks like you're nothing. Nobody wants you. That's how they feel. And it affects their spirits. It's not easy. It's not easy to be in that position. Not knowing, will my plate, this white bowl there, be filled tomorrow? They don't know. Some even went back to the villages where they were chasing away to again go on the fields, because that's the only thing they have. They need to work on the fields to get food. But again, they were killed. So it got worse. I take you in one of those camps. I take you by a small video clip by Pastor Barnabas, one of our partners, to this area. He will share his point of view, the situation they face, and after he shared, we will look in Scripture. Can I have the video, please? How do you feel if you see this? You may be thankful that you can live here. But you belong to them. These are no strangers. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We will see them again. We will share eternity with them. So we are family. A worldwide family. It's seen here too. So many nations, so many people come together because of Jesus Christ. He's the center. Paul founded churches. He was traveling to different people groups. And he shared about his experience of serving the Lord. Not just him personally, but as a team. As Christians, we read some interesting verses about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just read two verses, 8 and 10. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Paul describes a tremendous tension of following Jesus. Following Jesus means also to proclaim him, to share him. And he faced a lot of pressure on every side. And you probably remember some of his pressures. They stoned him. They had a lot of arguments within the church. If you read the letters, you realize quickly it's about solving problems also. Especially the one to the Corinthians. What they all did. So he had pressure within the church and without the church. Wanting that they all mature to become like Christ. And he describes it even further, to the point of being crushed, irritated, struck down, destroyed, all these words. He faced this. It's reality. Many brothers and sisters in the world face this reality today. I just showed you one example, just one. We didn't go into all the other areas. They are struck down. They're about to get destroyed, at least their home, their families. So if you only look at this side, you get depressed. Maybe you say, oh, this is too dangerous part of following Jesus. Maybe you will try to neglect it. Say, oh, I don't want to look at this. This just is painful. But this is the reality of being a Christian, and it has two sides. There is the persecution, hardship side. It's a cross we carry. Take your cross, Jesus said, and follow me. And in other parts he said, what do you gain if you win the whole world but lose your soul? So people lost all the world basically they had developed around them to have Jesus. But there is a but. Always a but. So we don't neglect this of being crushed, perplexed, in despair. But there's always this but. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. How can this be? We sang about it. The answer is Jesus. He conquered death. He was in despair, but he received the power of God. He was God. You cannot put God to death. How could this be? So you have the living Christ in your hearts. So there is a power within you. This cannot be crushed. That's what he's saying here. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Now we can say, praise God, hallelujah. In midst of all this, there is a resurrection power at work. How does this come into work? Is it just automatically? When you face the situation? Even you're sitting in an IDA in this camp, you receive joy. Well, there is an involvement needed. And this involvement Paul also experienced in his personal situation when he was in prison, in difficult circumstances. On the next slide, we look briefly into Philippians, where Paul shares this. When he was in prison, he wrote, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Deliverance in two senses. Well, that he just gets free out of the prison, or that he will stand to the end for Christ, even being put to death. He won't be afraid of facing each of those situations. Being delivered means also to overcome the circumstances, even it means you put to death. And therefore you're sitting here. You're sitting here because many Christians, generations before of you, chose to die for the sake of the gospel. So we hopefully live the same way. We never give up, even if we have to die. But here you see an important, a very great importance is that your personal prayer helps people to succeed. So you sit here, but your prayer for Christians in North Korea labor camp, or in India in a village, or in Pakistan in a prison, you can lift up a brother and sister and change the situation, and they are there because they receive power. They receive power. Or they get free. You have active part in that deliverance. Because here in this verse, he puts your prayers besides the provision of the Spirit of God. He could have left out the prayers of the saints. Could have just written, "For I know that through God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out to my deliverance." Isn't that amazing that it's next to that? Because your prayers count. Your prayers count. Paul always said to the church, pray for all the saints. So this ministry is yours. So if you want to assist the persecuted church, start right there by praying. We want to change the situation. At least that our brothers and sisters receive the internal strength and healing and power and joy to live maybe another year in the camp, to have faith for another year that food will be provided. Yes, Christians are praying and taking action. So there are teams who go in and bring food, teams who bring encouragement. And I will share some of those also. But now we want to pray. We want to pray. I have a slide with just basic points, and I would ask Pastor James and the elders to come join with me in prayer for those brothers and sisters, representative for the whole church. But I will give you also the opportunity later on to have individual prayer for them. So please come and let us have a word of prayer.
Pray for my brother Barnabas there in Nigeria. We just got to see a little bit of his house and the fact that he's been displaced for so many years. Father, you've placed him as a servant, influencing the flock around him. Heavenly Father, may he not be dismayed. May he not be discouraged. May he not be depressed or downhearted, but instead, may he take hope in your word. May he rest in your promises. Jesus, may you please strengthen him. I pray for your power that is not worldly power, that is beyond any of that. Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to help him to do the work that you have called him to do, even in that very tough situation, even in that tough surrounding. May you help him to give hope to those who are struggling for hope, and he himself is wondering where his hope's going to come from. Would you empower him to do that? Would you empower him, Father, to faithfully share the gospel, to faithfully share the good news with those who need to hear that word they've already heard again, who need to hear the gospel message again. Jesus, I just pray that Barnabas and his family and his flock around him would know the truth that you hold them fast. You have not abandoned them, but you hold them fast, and you will continue to hold them fast. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we just bless your name because we read in the scriptures that we do not have an high priest who is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Father, you are not like the lame gods of this world that have eyes and do not see. You do not only see, but in the person of Jesus, your Son, you experience what it means, O God, to go through this kind of situations. And Abba Father, you also know that as human beings, O God, you know what frame we are made of. We're weak, Lord Jesus, like the flower that blossoms in the day and by the evening withers. So, Lord, you know these people, Father. Not just these Nigerians that have been shown, but the over 16 million Christians, oh God, all over the world that suffer in one way or the other. Father, as a church, we bring them before you this afternoon, that God, you will remember them. The same way you remembered the children of Israel when they were held in captivity in Egypt. And you heard their cry and you brought about their deliverance from captivity. God, this afternoon we pray, oh God, that you will show the same mercy to these ones, oh God. And that, Lord, you will cause these persecutions to cease. Father, your word says that if the rod of the wicked remains on the lot of the righteous forever, the righteous themselves will put their hands to evil, to sin. And Father God, we know how it is when we are hard-pressed. So Lord, we pray that for your name's sake, Lord, you will show yourself strong and mighty. That you put an end to this carnage, to this destruction. I pray, Father God, that you would also just open the eyes of these ones to see, oh God, that you are with them all the time. The same way you opened the eyes of Stephen, even in the midst of being stoned, and he saw Jesus. That God, you will cause them to experience you in a way that is undeniable. That they will not turn their backs on you, but that they will stand strong. We commit them into your hands for keeping, oh God. And Lord, we pray for the persecutors also. Your word says that the heart of every man is in your hand, and like rivers of water, you can turn it. So turn the hearts of these ones, oh God, from wickedness. Turn the hearts of these ones from evil. Let them see, oh God, the love, the tenacity of these ones. Let it be a challenge to them, oh God. We pray that, Father, you will visit them. You will soften their hearts. You will frustrate also, oh God, their devices and all the things that they do, that it will not succeed. We pray also, oh God, for governments in these areas, Lord Jesus, that you will cause them to also do what is right for the people. We know that every institution of government is set up by you, Scripture says. And so we pray that you will turn the heart of leaders in these countries to do what is right, to do what is fair, oh God. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person who trusts in you, whether you are the only one that knows of their faith, because they cannot tell and they cannot share for their lives, Lord. Father, I pray that you will strengthen them, you will encourage them, you will give them hope when all else fails. Lord, and may these sparks in your world, Lord, be indeed sparks that light a flame around them, Lord, light a flame for you in these places of despair, in these places where your name cannot be spoken openly. Lord, give them strength in their secrecy. Give them, yes, your courage. And help them to stand firm, Lord, on you, for you will not fail. Lord, help us too, in our comfort, to remember and guide us in your strength, Lord, to do what we can to encourage and support those you put before us. Father, we thank you that we are one family, together under you. Help us indeed to be that one family for your glory. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you would do in our hearts only what you can do, and that is that we would have eyes to see what you see, ears to hear, hearts to welcome, hands to give. Lord, we stand here in this place and time, and we need that compassion for others, and that's something only you can give. Give us those hearts that care for our Christian brothers and sisters, for your church worldwide. Give us hearts, give us compassion, give us love for them. Lord, these are people who reap with tears, Lord. They sow with tears. And we pray that you would give them a reaping of joy. Heavenly Father, this is what you command for us, and I pray that you do this good work in our hearts. Amen.
Thank you very much. As I mentioned before, you all have the opportunity to pray personally after the service in your homes during the week. The next slide, you may understand what I mean. This is not just a magazine to give you information. This is a prayer magazine. So when you open this magazine, in the middle of the magazine, you find a leaflet. It's in there. It's called prayer calendar. And this prayer calendar has for each day one prayer request. So you're moving around the world of the persecuted church with very specific situations, names of brothers and sisters who face persecution and need somebody who's standing with them. Persecuted but not abandoned. That's how we started this service with the first slide. So here you have the church on paper who is persecuted. So you're all invited to receive this magazine monthly. You can do that by filling out this card. It's cost-free. So we sent you, without charge, this magazine into your home. When you take off this card, and fill it out with your address and just visit our book table, which will be downstairs, maybe even outside when the weather is good, and give it this card to us. And you be part of the persecuted church and be a blessing to our brothers and sisters, whatever nation the monthly topic may be. So, and you will learn a lot about what I've said already. It becomes a reality in your own life, the other side of the story, I would say. And it's needed, as I have shared some of these verses, your prayers make a difference. Therefore, it's so important. You will learn about other ways, too, to help. I don't go in more details about this magazine. Just read it carefully, and you will see what I mean. One thing you will find, next slide, please, is a leaflet, a leaf. It's paper, but it's meant to be a leaf from a tree. And you can write a promise, a prayer, whatever you want to say for brothers and sisters in Sub-Saharan Africa, because when we travel there, we will take those with us. And here you see a small tree, an artificial tree. It's in our trauma center. Many, many women, also men, have been traumatized, and they go to this tree and pick one of these leaves, and it's like a healing to them. Oh, there is a brother and sister who's remembering me, who's praying for me, who is part of supporting me. And this gives hope and confidence and healing. Yeah, so you can do a lot, but one thing, the last slide I have here, is about don't become weary in doing good. It's a decision. Also to resist things which make you weary. There's a lot of war going on in this world, a lot of trouble going on. But if we do not give up, we will reap a harvest. This is part of the story again. As you see, if the farmers give up putting down the seeds, there won't be a harvest. But they continue to work in season, and they reap a harvest. So it's the same with you. And you see, let us do good to all people. This is being following Jesus, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So there's a first priority. It's the church. It's your brothers and sisters. So be encouraged, take action as you go home, and bless those who live in the IDE camps and other areas. What a blessing it is to bless those who are in such circumstances. The Lord will rejoice in heaven as we love one another. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much. And don't forget to step by at the book table and to drop your card and chat with us and whatever you haven't heard yet, and you maybe have questions. My wife and I will be joining with you for the time of fellowship.